Good evening and greetings in the name of Jesus. This evening, it's good to gather together again and renew friendships and hear the Word of God preached in these few days that we're here together. I've been asked to have devotionals from the book of Proverbs. Most of the book of Proverbs was written by King Solomon, the son of David, whom God gave wisdom above all other men. Solomon started out good, I think. We read in 1 Kings 3, and Solomon loved the Lord and walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed and burned incense in high places. He started out with a good heart there. If you remember the story of Solomon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream at night and asked, "What shall I give thee?" And Solomon was young and had just become king over Israel, and he realized that he needed wisdom from God for that great task that was before him. So he asked for an understanding heart to judge God's people, that he may be discern between the good and the bad. And God was pleased with that request, rather than long life or riches or something like that. And God said in 1 Kings 3, "Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee." So God gave him great wisdom, and it is out of this wisdom that God has given us these Proverbs. The book of Proverbs it shows us how to live wisely. There's many different subjects treated in this book. There's much practical advice, many common sense issues. But I think as we look at the book of Proverbs, as with other Old Testament teachings, we need to be careful how we apply them to today. There's many teachings regarding cause and effect. If you do certain things, you can expect certain results. Wisdom is a key word in this book. And wisdom is not just having a lot of head knowledge, but knowing how to apply the knowledge in our everyday life, how to make wise decisions and live successfully. A wise man will listen and increase his understanding from these Proverbs. The writer of Proverbs here often uses the word, "my son." He is speaking as a father to a son, with affection and also with authority. And God, who is our Father, speaks to us as his children, I think with affection and with authority also. Often in this book, we see two ways, the way of wisdom and the way of folly. It's up to us to make a choice. Which way are we going to go? Which way are we going to choose? Now, the Proverbs are a general truth a lot of times, rather than just a given fact in every situation. For example, in Proverbs 18:22, it says, "Whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing." Is that always true? For men in general, and especially for Christians, yes, that a wife is a good thing. In fact, when God created man, he created Adam, and he said it's not good that man would be alone. And so he made a woman to be his companion for him, and then it was good. So wives are good. That's a general thing, but not every single wife. Some wives are really not a blessing, and we don't want to have that kind of a wife. But I think that it's not every single instance. Or think about this Proverbs. In Proverbs 15:1, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." Now, Does a soft answer always turn away wrath? Jesus responded kindly, I think, to his the people that accused him, but they ended up crucifying him anyway. The general thought in this verse is that if we answer with kindness instead of harshness, we tend to calm an angry confrontation. And I think that's true. So the book is full of these kind of observations. What shall we do with them? Shall we say the book is untrustworthy because some of the statements don't apply in every situation? No, I think that we should bear in mind that these are proverbs. They're truths that apply in a general way rather than in every single case. Tonight, I want to think about what the proverbs say about reverence for God. I think that was a fitting song that we sang there about Thou art holy. What does the proverb say about reverence for God as we come to meetings like this? So turn to the book of Proverbs. No man can ever become truly wise who does not begin with God, the source of wisdom and knowledge, and have a proper respect and reverence for God. In the first chapter of Proverbs, verse 7, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." So the fear of the Lord, that is to respect him, to honor him, to submit to him, and to submit to his revelation to us. Fools are persons who have no true wisdom, who follow their own devices without regard to reverencing God. Think of all the people that go to college, learn a lot of head knowledge, but don't recognize that knowledge comes from God. Take, for example, evolution. How did the world get here in the first place? You can have ever so many sophisticated ideas, but without accepting God's revealed way of beginning, it's foolishness. Romans 1 talks about people who knew God and then turn away from him, and they go down, down, down. They profess to be wise, but actually they're fools. Look at the belief about homosexuality and transgenderism. They may think that they're wise in these beliefs, but they're not. According to God's design, God's pattern, God's standard, them are foolish ways of thinking. Okay, turn in your Bibles to chapter 3 and verse 7. The fear of the Lord, reverencing him. Verse 7, "Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones." So taking God's design is even a health benefit. And then in chapter 8 and verse 13, we read, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil." One of the ways that we show that we reverence God is to hate what he calls evil. God says pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. I think if I come up with this way of living, this design for life, and I'm proud and I'm arrogant about it, and do not give credit to God for his good way, God says he hates that. Go to chapter 9 and verse 10. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased." Do you want to be wise? Fear the Lord. Reverence him. To know him is real understanding. God is the giver of life, and he can lengthen our days. Now, not everyone who fears the Lord is going to live to see a long life. But I think in general, those who live clean, godly lives can live longer than the ungodly who destroy their bodies with substance abuse or immorality or harmful effects of worry and hate and so on. Go to chapter 10, verse 27. It says the same thing. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Now let me ask you a question. Which is better, to have reverence for God and have a little of this world's good, or to have much of this world's goods and not fear God? I think that most of us here tonight would, the answer would be obvious. Now turn to chapter 15 and verse 16 for the answer to that in Proverbs. 15 verse 16 says, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasures and trouble therewith. Along with this great treasure and lack of reverence for God is trouble or turmoil. And to fear God is better. Now go to chapter 16, verse 6. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. How do you depart from evil? How do you choose to leave evil and do good? By having a right perspective and attitude toward God. If God is over all, he's supreme ruler, he's worthy of my admiration and praise and obedience, and I recognize that, that leads me to depart from what he calls evil. Turn to chapter 19 and verse 23. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. To be visited with evil, perhaps referring to judgment there, we have life instead. In 1 Timothy 4:8, it says that godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Godliness is profitable unto all things. Now turn to chapter 23 and verse 17. Again, we have this thought of fearing the Lord. Verse 17 in chapter 23, let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. In this verse, we have a contrasting affection, envying sinners versus reverencing God. Don't envy them. No matter how good it looks looking on at them, rather love God all the time. Go to chapter 24 and verse 21. My son, fear thou the Lord and the King, and meddle not with them that are given to change. Here we also have the idea of respect to earthly rulers. God wants us to respect them, along with respecting and reverencing God. And then we have the godly woman described in the last chapter of Proverbs, chapter 31. In verse 30, it says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. One who fears the Lord, she will be commended. She will be worthy of praise. And if she fears the Lord, rather than trying to have favor or beauty in the eyes of the world, let's fear God. Let's reverence him. Let's have a respect for him. And the one who is high, he's holy, he's worthy of our praise. Now I would like to look at a few verses yet in regard to what the Proverbs say about studying the Word or taking time, getting into the Word, seeking God. And go back to the beginning of the book again in chapter 2 and verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. If you listen to God's words, if you incline your heart, you want to understand. If you seek and you search, you will find God. Now go to chapter 7 and verse 2. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Do you want to have life? Then keep God's commandments. Keep them as diligently as you guard the pupil of your eye. We guard our eyes well, diligently. He says, keep them as that diligently. Keep close to the Word of God. Be reminded of the Word over and over again. Go to chapter 8 and verse 33. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Do you want to be wise? Listen to God's instruction. Read it. Study it. And hear it gathered together in the group of God's people. Go to chapter 19 and verse 20. Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. Here again we have encouragement to listen to counsel so that we can be wise. Go to chapter 28 and verse 5. Evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. Do you want to have understanding? Seek the Lord. He will give understanding if we seek Him. And then one more verse, chapter 28 and verse 9. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. If we don't want to listen to God, to what He has to say, it says our prayer will be an abomination to Him, something that God hates. If I don't listen to God, why should He listen to me when I pray? As we're here at these meetings, these few days, let's listen to what God has to say, and then not only here, but after we leave, spend time in God's Word. Seek Him diligently and have a proper reverence for Him. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Thank you, God, that we can be gathered together in this way again at this time for these few days. Thank you for each one here tonight. May you bless our gathering together, be with our speakers, and give them the right words to say tonight. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.